Colin, now, you are much more of the racing guy than I am, but watching, like, anytime a race ends under a caution, I'm always kind of like, oof, it's kind of a letdown. It'd be like having a shootout in a playoff game. For me, not a fan of it, especially the final five laps. Like, was there another alternative that they could have done to have this finish better?
There's a bunch of things about that ending that I didn't like. You know, number one, the fact is that when Spencer Pigot, you know, went into the wall, and it was a horrifying accident. I still haven't seen the black box information. Not that they give it to me, but I haven't seen any. You know, any record of it, that's got to be one of the hardest hits that will have been recorded. Because, I mean, he was still mostly at speed and then came to a dead stop in almost no time.
Ugh, yeah.
But when they went out, like the Indy rescue crew, they're actively trying to extricate him from the car. There's safety vehicles on. And the fact is that IndyCar kept parading the cars around under caution. So they were kind of weaving their way in as safety workers and paramedics and, you know, everybody else is trying to focus on getting this driver, you know, in stable condition. And thankfully it sounds like Pigot's okay. But like, how hard would it have been to simply throw a red flag? Now, there's all kinds of arguments out there right now about, well, you know, they would have to rebuild the wall and they would have had, okay, so what? This is they call it the greatest spectacle in racing. And it ends like a fart in a windstorm. Like it just died. And, there was no, like, there was so much excitement and so much anticipation. There were a handful of guys who were really in it, you know, mostly towards the end. It was, you know, Scott Dixon and the eventual winner, Takuma Sato. But we never got that, you know, we're getting down to the last day. Like, I don't know. I mean, if you're really going to consider yourself to be the greatest of anything, you got to be able to show it.
Andretti cars dominating most of the weekend, but why didn't they really have any big impact on the race?
Well, and, you know, we were just talking to Hinch there a few minutes ago, and you guys covered it really well with the difference between, you know, qualifying trim and race trim. And, you know, they spent so much time in the lead up to qualifying. It just seemed like their race setup, which, again, it's really tough to replicate that, because to really figure out what your race setup is, you've got to be on track, you've got to be running in practice, and you've got to be running at realistic speeds. You know, a lot of guys, they don't push flat out. And when you're around other cars and you're in the draft, you don't really know what you've got until Sunday. So I think that was the deciding factor, because, I mean, you know, Scotty D had, you know, he had a legitimate shot at the pole, but they weren't really all that good all week. Then when they got to the race again, I mean, he was able to pull away from the pack. So whatever they've done, like, that car has just been, like, unprecedentedly good this year, especially on ovals. And Scott's driving, you know, at the best of his, like, I think he's driving as good as he ever, pardon me, as well as he ever has. I think that was kind of the difference. They just missed their race setup a little bit, or the strategy just didn't fall into what they wanted.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorc Racing Report. You look, you know, you talked about how it could end a different, no question about it. But, you know, you looked at, you know, Sato, you know, he had a second victory with Ray. Dixon was third, Dixon was second, Ray Hall was third. The Andretti cars, you know, they dominated all the weekend except on race day. What happened?
Yeah, again, I think it's just kind of more relating back to, you know, the way that the race unfolded. You know, their strategy probably put them a little bit behind. You know, the other thing is, you know, when you're working on qualifying and, you know, kind of your single car lapping, you're not worried about fuel economy so much. And I think they maybe had an issue where they had to go into conservation mode during the race. Which kind of kept them at the middle of the pack. And then the way the cautions fell, it just didn't give them a chance to race. I mean, those Andretti cars are good. They just, you know, again, the difference between race trim and qualifying trim is kind of where, you know, what sets everyone apart.
Now to F1, Renault withdrew their protest of Racing Point's brake ducts. So can you kind of recap what was the protest? Why did they ultimately withdraw it?
So this has been a massive bone of contention all year in Formula One. The shortest version of a really long, complicated, and probably not all that interesting story is within Formula One's technical and sporting regulations are components that have to be designed by the manufacturer. So there are certain things like the engine. Ferrari supplies engines to other teams, Mercedes supply to other teams, Honda provides engines for a number of teams. So the manufacturers don't have to get involved in that. But certain areas of body work, certain areas of ducting, things like that have to be built by the manufacturers. The bone of contention here is that in 2019, the brake ducts were not what's called a listed part. They were not a thing that was in the regulations that said you had to do that. You could buy it from another person. 2020, the regulation became a listed part. So what essentially has happened is Racing Point has been running the brake ducts from Mercedes car last year. The crux of the matter is that they actually raced the part during part of last year's season when it was a non-regulated part or non-listed part. So they're saying, listen, this was not part of the regulation. We had this technology last year, so you can't appeal. All the other teams are saying, we know you didn't build that part. You've got a competitive advantage because Racing Point's gone from, the back of the pack to, sometimes qualifying in the top five. So their program has been helped. Plus, there are Mercedes affiliated teams, so they run the Mercedes power plant. This is the bone of contention. Renault was the team that really initiated the protests. The fact that they're walking away and Ferrari is still in it is a bit hypocritical because Ferrari, they were busted over the year for running a bunch of illegal stuff with regard to their fuel system, which is why now that they have to comply by the rules, Ferrari is nowhere, but they're still taking the time to, it'd be interesting to see the way it plays out because now that the new Concorde agreement is signed, I think that was kind of the determining factor for a lot of these guys to make sure that everything was sorted when really things kick in 2022. But that being said, we've got a great race this weekend at Spa.
Now, quickly, what is a brake duct? Like, am I supposed to know what this is? I feel kind of like an idiot, but I don't.
You don't know what it is?
Do you?
Well, I don't want to embarrass you. I'll let the big guy answer the question. Colin?
Please, we'll let Strudge can answer that, right?
No, I don't want to waste your time. Go ahead. You'll see.
Okay. Well, you guys tell me if I'm right or wrong here, but the brake, so like on a conventional car, like your street car, basically your brake system is fully exposed. And the reason it's exposed is because, you want to get as much air onto the rotor and your brake pads as possible to keep things cool. Otherwise, you can heat up. But in Formula One, they're really, like, everything is about, making power, minimizing drag while maximizing downforce. And what happens is there's so much turbulent air, they need to be able to control it. So that's what the brake duct does. It's a way of bringing air in kind of between where the wheel is and where the nose cone is. It channels the air in, it runs over the brake system, and then it discharges. But it's done in a very, very elaborate way to maximize cooling while at the same time helping with the aerodynamics. So it's a super, super critical part of an F1 car.
Okay. To the off-camber karting, Jared Freston wins his third consecutive in the 397 class. Ryan Berry wins his first in the 420 class. The balance of five is going to be decided this coming weekend. But you also have the Rotax Max karting final. Tomorrow and Friday are testing days, then qualifying and racing Saturday, and then the final is on Sunday. And this can be awarded to the finals in Portugal. So how does this set up, Colin? What any favorites going, like are Berry and Freeston the automatic favorites going in?
Well, as it turns out, I'm actually at the track right now, so I don't think this counts as a location. But when I was last outside, everyone, we had the PA tuned to TSN 1260, so we have a lot of people in the paddock that hopefully are listening. Like, don't pay attention to the nonsense on the track. I've got people waving at me now, so that's kind of fun. But Jared's a legitimate contender. Jared did go to the World Finals last year.
Okay.
Ryan, he's there's nothing saying that he couldn't do it, but there is no 420 category for this weekend's race, so he's going to be at a bit of a weight disadvantage. You know, we've got our young friend Massey Taskinen. You know, we're running, you know, I put a little sponsor deal together, so he's running one of our factory carts from CRG. He's running in the younger category, so 32 and under. So we're really hoping that Matthew has a shot at it this weekend. It turns out that they've kind of changed the format for us on Sunday. So I think we're actually going to have a pretty good field in what I normally run, which is called BD2, where a bunch of our Wednesday night guys might show up. We won't be eligible for the world's ticket, but we can put a pretty good field out. You know, last night we had, I think, 19 carts. You know, not our highest total, but all of a sudden, you know, like all the teams were mostly loaded in here on Tuesday. So they were kind of hanging around like, why do you guys have so many DD2s here, but nobody's really entered in the event? So it takes a little bit of prodding for our guys to step up, but it should be a good show on the weekend.
Well, best of luck, Colin. We'll hear about the results next week. Appreciate your time.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.